MSing About Productions presents MSing About, a podcast about nothing. Hello, I'm Ian Hayden, an award-winning comedy writer who happens to have MS and who has, as always, sitting across from me, Katrina Christensen. Hello, Katrina.
Hello, Ian.
Firstly, today, our sponsor, Solid Sleep, Australia's number one manufacturer of adjustable beds. Check them out at
www.solidsleep.com.au.
Right. I'd like to do something different today, if that's okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'd like to interview someone.
Who?
You.
Oh, what?
You see, for over 30 podcasts, maybe 40, I've introduced you as a singer, a pianist, a carer, and a train driver, and we've talked about driving trains.
Yes.
And we've talked about MS and disability. Yes. And we haven't talked about you being a singer and a pianist much.
Oh.
We haven't.
No, okay.
And that's how I met you.
Yes.
Because my AMS affected my left hand function, and I wanted lessons on how to play the goanna with my right hand better. And
the goanna or the piano? What did you just say?
It's rhyming slang for piano.
Okay.
The goanna. Have you not heard that?
No.
Anyway, I wanted to tinkle on the goanna with my right hand, and you taught
ever.
Me. Oh. Well, why are you here yet?
No, because I like you.
All right. What I want to know is...
Okay, yeah, what?
When did you start singing?
When I was born.
Oh, really?
Straight out of the womb.
Right.
I used to stand in front and sing all the... I used to sing all the commercials as a little kid. I was constantly singing.
When did you know you were good?
When did I know
Good? Like other people probably know first.
I probably didn't know that I was good until I won my first Miss Deadford at the age of 16.
Did your parents tell you you were good?
All the time. Mum would tell me I have a beautiful voice.
When did you know you were pitch perfect?
Not until potentially my last piano teacher said that she thought I was. And I went,
fairly rare from what I've studied.
I never realised that I could just start singing a song and it would be exactly in the key that it was written in. And I just didn't put the two and two together.
Have you ever sung a bad note?
Oh, yeah.
How come if you're pitch perfect?
After a few wines, everyone will sing a bad note.
Have you ever sung a commercial jingle? Well, you have. You said you used to stand in front of the telly and...
Yeah, I've sung them, but not to get paid to do them.
Because I'm going to have a quick commercial break here for Palmolive soap.
Palmolive soap, yes.
All right.
Fire away.
Give new life to your complexion. Leave your skin with a new perfection of the softer, fresher beauty that is rare. Use mild and gentle new Palmolive care.
Begin Palmolive beauty care today.
Give new life to your complexion, lady fair. Use mild and gentle new Palmolive care.
Welcome back. She didn't hit a dud note, that little warbler.
No, she was great.
Yeah, I'll buy Palmolive soap. Now, as a singing teacher... How do you handle people who want to learn to sing but have no idea about hitting the right note?
Yes, I've had a few.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Look, at the end of the day, it really is. It comes back down to the person. And if they're not prepared to put in the practice, you can't do anything with
What about people like me who can hit some notes, who don't have a great singing voice? Is there any hope for someone like
me? There is, but again, it comes down to the person willing to take on board what you're telling them to do. And singing is such a personal thing, and it's having to hear your voice and go, oh, God, is that what I sound like? But if you're really committed and you're given instructions to do some things which you go, I don't understand what this is going to do for me, but if you've got a good teacher and you trust them and you do what they tell you to do, you will see improvement. But it is a muscle.
And why is it that some people have, what you wouldn't call them classically good voices, but you still like them? You know, like you hear James Taylor or whoever, and you recognise them straight away, and they're unique.
But it's just like art. It's all in, what's the word, interpretive to what makes you feel happy, what you like listening to. You like Jethro Tull. I don't particularly like them. So I don't...
How could you not?
I know, see, exactly. Yeah. But it's just a matter of opinion.
Well, we were talking before we start the podcast about Peter Garrett in an interview.
Yeah.
And I was watching, he actually has a very good voice.
Yeah.
Very distinctive.
He does, yeah. So, but you know, again...
But when you get away from the gesticulation on stage, the voice is actually terrific.
Yeah, and so again, if you're judging someone or you're trying to rate someone on, did they technically do that well, as opposed to someone who might come out and not have a very great voice, but has the showmanship, has a unique look, has a unique sound. Well, like, you know, just
I think
example,
that's why
Jimmy Barnes. He has a very, very unique voice.
He doesn't sing out of tune, either.
He doesn't, yeah. And I kind of think, over the years, his voice has actually gotten technically better.
A friend of mine was almost Jimmy Barnes.
Oh, really? It was almost Jimmy Barnes?
Yeah, because the rest of the band auditioned for a singer and my mate came in second. We're off the subject. What were we talking about?
Music, singing.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
And we were talking about what sort of things you... I was going to ask what sort of things you teach people, but that depends on the person.
Well, yeah, like if it's singing, then I'm going to teach them how to do scales and arpeggios and how to...
You can teach someone to do that, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all part of learning how to sing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the hardest thing getting a person brave enough to
open their mouth?
Yeah, basically.
Yes, yes. I had one student who came for just a meet and greet, and we were going to have a chance to, you know, see if this is what she wanted to do, and she couldn't sing the whole time she was there. She was just in such a...
Well, it's a weird thing. I was in a primary school opera. I've done Gilbert and Sullivan on stage. Not the same as being scared to sing in front of you.
Yeah.
In front of one person is harder. A few drinks and you might sing. And I've sung with my musos when we used to do comedy.
Yeah.
And I could hold a tune. That was fine.
Yeah.
And they said, didn't know you were a tenor. But that's that. And when you've got to go on stage, you just do it. It's just rehearse. And
usually you've got a group of people.
You've got a group of people.
Camaraderie going on. And and you're all there for the same cause. And, you know, you're shitting your pants, but you're all so excited at the same time. And
every Friday at my school, there was a sing-along for an hour where you just, someone on the piano and everyone sung. And so that was all right. My mate, the Swami, who's my boarding school mate, his wife is also a Swami.
Right.
And she's picked perfect. I forgot about her. And she's put out two CDs, beautiful voice.
Oh, wow.
And Dave's got the worst voice I've ever heard. And she encourages him to sing because it makes him feel good.
Isn't that nice?
I went to a funeral and stood next to him. We had to sing a hymn. And I'm going, oh, my God, it is the worst voice I've ever heard.
So some people
can't hear themselves what they're meant to do.
No, because they're actually not, and again, that's another skill as a musician, is to not just be listening to yourself, but to be listening to those around you and trying to blend in, particularly if you're in a choir and you're meant to be sounding as one voice.
I guess a choir, you also, not that you might know the name of the note, but you automatically get the harmony that C goes with that A and things, and you don't do a discordant...
Yeah, but then again, that all comes down to learning the song and practicing.
Were you always picked for school musicals?
No, because in primary school we didn't do anything like that. I did in the church. I got the...
When you won your Esteadford, that must have told them, hello, we want her in Greece next year.
We didn't do musicals at my school.
Did you go to a church school?
No. I just went to a school that didn't have really a good music department. There was only two students in the music department there at one stage.
My school just did one musical a year, and it was always Gilbert and Sullivan, and they did six, so that it was a new one every year for your high school.
Yeah, no.
I think they do proper musicals now. And yeah. with real girls. They used to get the prepubescent boys to play the girls' part.
No.
Oh, three little girls from Zimbabwe.
No, The school at the time that was doing musicals regularly, and for me seemed to be the only school that I knew that did it, was the Catholic high school on the north side of town, and they did amazing musicals, and we were meant to go to that school when we moved to the different side of town. And for some reason, we didn't get the notification that we'd been accepted into the school, and mum and dad sort of scrambled and went, oh my gosh, we haven't heard from them. They probably should have just picked up the phone, but, you know, they didn't. So we ended up going to the state school up the road, and it was a very basic state school that didn't have the money in their program to do things like that. So the biggest thing they did was put on a comedy show, and it was more about the drama students. And because, again,
for a school to commit to a music department, you've got to commit to instruments and expense and a teacher.
We didn't have a school band. We had none of that. It was a very basic beginning school. Yeah. So
now I'm jumping forward a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Malaysia to appear in a musical.
I did.
What was that one?
That was Evita.
Evita.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that another suitcase in another hall?
It is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it had two songs then.
Don't
Cry for Me, Argentina.
Yeah. So I performed the role of Evita when I was 23 in Rockhampton, and that was very exciting. So that was my first audition for a musical, and I was lucky enough to get that lead role. But then after that, if we probably had stayed in Rockhampton, I probably would have continued to do all of that, but then we moved to Toowoomba, and I sort of, then I got pregnant and didn't really get into
it. Did Madge play the lead in the movie of the Evita? Madonna.
Oh, she did.
Did
you? Yes, But then
it's just a musical I've never liked.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Only because I only know two songs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber, he sort of, he did all right with Jesus Christ Superstar because I like every song of that.
Yeah.
And then he started doing ones with only one hit song.
Yeah, okay, well.
Cats has only got one, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, Memory was the song that I won for the Estetford, but what I did in Malaysia was...
How did it start?
You know how it goes.
Midnight,
not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone.
Well, that's very nice. What's the hardest song you've ever sung?
I don't know. There's lots of hard songs.
Oh, okay. But
depends. Opera can be hard. Rock and roll can be hard.
Yeah, well, that's what you've done. You've done opera.
You've done opera. Yep.
And you can sing in French and Italian.
And German.
But you don't speak any of those languages fluently.
Well, I know, but I did start to do Italian, and I am going to finish. I'm going to learn how to speak that fluently.
Do a little Piaf number.
Oh, yes.
Juno Rigatrian La Vie en Rose.
Yep.
And I've heard you do Nessun Dorma.
Yes.
So that's Italian and French.
Yes.
Do you learn the words or are they just notes?
You need to learn the words. Yeah, you need to know where to put the right inflection and where to extend the vowel and whether it's guttural.
But do you bother to find out what that means?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like no man shall speak
You can't put emotion into a song if you don't know what you're singing about. You have to have the translation, because if it's a song that's sad and you're coming in and you're being completely overly zealous and joyous, then you're going to give the wrong context to it. And even if you don't know a language, you can get the emotion the singer's putting across.
So I remember with a school group in Vanuatu, I played them Pavarotti's Nessun Dorma.
Oh, yes.
And just asked them for the emotion of, will he win?
Yeah, right.
And it's in the exuberance, I suppose.
Yes, very much so. And
it's not
and
just hitting the note. It's
the music behind it and the strings and the build-up and here's the moment. It triumphs.
Okay, we're going to take a little quick commercial break for a little jingle.
A little jingle.
A jingle for Old Spice.
Oh, love Old Spice.
And if your ears blink, you'll probably miss the brand. But
okay.
There is a ship in a bottle, and it's a little sea shanty, and I think it sounds like rubbish.
Okay.
It's a song.
Yo ho, yo ho, brush, let's all add our voice, whichever you can ocean.
50 cents for shaving cream, $1 for the lotion.
Old Spice means quality, said the captain to the bosun. So look for the package with the ship that fills the ocean. Yo ho, yo ho.
Welcome back. You grew up singing in a church.
I did.
What was your first single or album? Because you weren't singing rock songs if you were in church.
No, it was Petra.
Petra?
Yeah, Petra was the band.
Was it a church band or a rock band?
It was a rock band, but
I thought you'd like Ride on Time or something. Like
but growing up in church, we didn't really listen to...
Oh, no, you were allowed to listen to Petra, were you?
Well, Petra was a Christian rock and roll band.
That's what I was asking. It sounds like, a fruit juice.
Yeah, so they were a pioneer of the Christian rock and contemporary Christian music. So they were really good. But I mean, before we joined the church, Dad had an amazing record collection, and we would listen to the records, and we would listen to the radio, and so we had all of that. And then we sort of moved into church, and so then it was kind of, I don't know, almost a little bit taboo to listen to rock and roll music. And you know, you've got to remember, Kiss was around at that time, and that was like...
You're a little younger than me.
Yeah, marginally younger.
All right, a lot. No, but see,
you know, they were.
Yeah, but I was growing up when rock and roll just came out, and that was considered.
Oh, music of the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, the first record I ever had was the Beatles, and my parents bought it for me when I was 9 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
But they would never have bought me Rolling Stones or any of that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
The Beatles sounded nice.
Yes, they did, didn't they? Yes, yeah. Nice four English young lads.
And until they got into their drugs and transcendental meditation. Anyway.
Yeah. But no, so moving on from that, like once I sort of, by the age of 16, 17, sort of moved away from the church a bit. And, so, you know, I went and worked at Brash's. I bought my first, 12-inch, version of Ride on Time. And, you know, my manager was into a lot of the 70s music, so I started to get an appreciation for that music again. And, and then going to uni, got into the jazz scene, and just my whole world just kind of opened up again musically-wise, and then,
How could you not like Jethro Tull? But on that note, if you'll pardon the pun, I think we'll call it a little rap.
We'll wrap it up, shall
we? Oh, rap, there's another pun. Little hip-hop rap.
Hip-hop rap. I've actually written a rap. I should sing it for you one day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I will play it for you.
Go home and write one called Hooroo.
Hooroo. Oh, no.
Oh, right.
That's a bit...
Bye, then.
All right, hooroo.